From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, October 12th, 2017. And on this day, we'll look at how businesses in York County feel about the possibility of a casino there. And Wolf's Neck Farm has a new focus, although there's a lot there that is still familiar. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Another Democratic candidate has entered the gubernatorial primary race. Mark Dion, a state senator and former Cumberland County sheriff, announced his candidacy today. Dion says he'll draw on his 40 years of public service at the municipal, county, and state levels to move Maine forward.
I know how the machine works. I have built relationships across all those areas of policy and practice. It's time to put those resources to work. It's time to build a team that will work for this state.
Dion says he'll focus on supporting legacy industries, on health care, and on the opioid epidemic. He's the 10th Democrat to enter the primary. Mainers will vote on the new governor in 2018 when Governor Paul LePage terms out. Meanwhile, in less than a month, Maine voters will decide whether to allow a casino to open up at a so far undecided location in York County. Is this a good thing for business? As Fred Bever reports, opinions in the county's business community vary widely about whether a casino would help their economic prospects or hurt them.
In the former mill towns of Biddeford and Saco, which straddle the Saco River, there's a buzz in the air. Since the last textile plant closed for good 8 years ago, the communities have made a pretty quick transition to a revitalized 21st century version of themselves. Mills have morphed into condos, startup factories, and breweries. Transplants fleeing rising costs in Portland, and Brooklyn, New York, for that matter, are moving in. When Jeannie Dunnigan and her husband opened a second version of their South Portland coffee shop, Sia, they chose Saco, not Portland.
But when we came to Saco, we're closer to the river, the ferry beach, the state park. And the demographics in Saco is great. It's a growing community, a lot of young people, a lot of older folks, and it's just a beautiful place to start.
Like many people in York County, Dunnigan isn't quite sure what to make of the casino proposal.
As far as having it in my backyard, if they put it in the right location, I mean, to have something to pop up in your county that's going to attract people to come and experience an art event or an entertaining event, I think it's fabulous.
The company behind the casino campaign has promised the kind of entertainment opportunities Dunnigan imagines, but the actual ballot item includes no requirement for such facilities. That doesn't bother Craig Pendleton, executive director of the Biddeford and Saco Chamber of Commerce and Industry.
I think it's a great opportunity.
Pendleton's board hasn't taken a position on the ballot item, but he says he met with the man who's pushing it, casino developer Sean Scott, last month. Scott told him the facility might land at an old Orchard Beach campground about halfway between the main turnpike and Saco Bay. Whether there or somewhere else in the county, Pendleton says it would benefit the beach towns.
And so they're going to get in the car and they're going to go explore. Or they're going to jump on the bus because our bus system's pretty good and they're going to go explore. So, you know, yeah, we're going to gamble at night and we're going to go down to the beach in the daytime.
And Jim Albert, owner of Jimmy the Greek's restaurant just across the street from that old Orchard Beach campground, is cheering.
This is a seasonal community. And many businesses and hotels shut down. And being in the hospitality business, I would love more, meaning a stable year-round economic base. And this would only enhance that.
It's by no means a universal view in York County business circles.
It would take an awful lot of evidence to convince me that it's going to be any kind of positive force for the economy.
David Flood is a former area newspaper owner who sits on the board of a downtown Biddeford promotion group. He worked against a casino proposal in Biddeford in 2013, and he opposes this one, too. He's a native of Dover, Delaware, where he says a casino moved in 2 decades ago, and now...
The downtown is completely dead. And a casino doesn't bring anything else. No, all a casino does is take money out. And they always take money out. It would be a horrible addition to the area.
Even in communities with struggling economies, which might seem ripe for a pitch by casino developers, there is opposition. In Sanford, Mayor Tom Cody says the city has more productive projects in mind, including a tech-oriented high school, a new fiber optic network, and a big solar energy park. The mayor seems almost insulted that Sean Scott, whose representatives wrote the ballot item, would sluice just 1% of revenues to the casino's host municipality.
And I think the offer is weak. That's not how a public-private partnership gets started.
Mayor Cody likes the idea of added jobs, but he suspects the regional casino market is pretty saturated, with the Oxford Casino to the north and a new project under construction down in Everett, Mass.
Probably initially the casino would do well, and then it would tail off. And what does that really look like to the community if you hire 1,500 people and that turns into 1,000 people? So what we don't want here is, you know, a bunch of unemployed people in 5 years or 10 years. So I don't get lost in the idea of grand revenue around these things. I look at the sort of the sustainability of it all.
Back in Biddeford, Molly Bull pours a craft beer in an old mill overlooking a Saco River waterfall. She and her husband built the Dirigo Brewing Company there last year, and so far, so good. She says the idea of a casino gives her pause because she's concerned about adding gambling addiction to the state's already woeful opioid crisis.
I don't know which way I would vote. I think a convention center, a music venue close to our business would only help our business. I think I would like to understand what the plan is a little bit better. Certainly understand the ballot question before I voted.
She does have a little time. Even if state voters were to approve the item on November 7th, the casino developers would still need approval from the municipal government of whichever host community they decided on. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
It used to be known as Wolf's Neck Farm in Freeport. From this week on, the 600-acre coastal farm will be known as Wolf's Neck Center for Agriculture and the Environment. Underscoring the center's new name is the advancement of what's known as regenerative farming. These are cutting-edge practices that kick organic standards up a notch. And in our latest installment of Beyond 350, Confronting Climate Change, Susan Sharon reports the goal is to train the next generation of farmers to be climate resilient as they reduce their own carbon footprints.
If you want to get the dirt on regenerative farming, you've got to see what's going into the ground, literally.
Chicken manure is what you could say. It's hot. It can burn up the grass if it's applied in too much concentration.
Dave Herring is not a farmer. He's the executive director of Wolf's Neck, where 100 laying hens are kept in a roving hen house on the farm's pastures. Every few days, a movable fence that surrounds the hen house and the birds is picked up and relocated. Herring says it takes the cage-free concept to a whole new level. And the outside hens provide other benefits.
And what they're doing is they're doing some pest control. So they're going to eat the bugs that we don't want here. And they're also going to add nutrients to the soil.
Chicken manure isn't the only enhancement. When vegetables aren't growing in the 4-acre garden, there are cover crops planted here to suppress weeds, slow erosion, and improve overall soil health. Tomato Tom Prohl, the farm's production educator, says it's a way to keep roots in the ground. And that's important because plants suck carbon dioxide from the atmosphere through photosynthesis.
This is the one time a year for about 2 weeks where I allow any sort of bare soil and tillage. And this is just because we're kind of in this in-between zone where we still need to have some of these crops in the ground. But as soon as we can get all of this stuff donated, gleaned, and harvested, we're going to put a cover crop of either oats and barley down and everything will be covered for the winter.
Wolf's Neck, which already emphasizes farm-based education, plans to continue its popular summer camp and school field trip programs. But it will focus additional resources on improving organic and regenerative farming practices. That means more research about sustainable agriculture and more education about carbon storage. Dave Herring says the idea is to prepare the next generation of farmers to adapt to and even mitigate climate change.
We want to develop a network of farms where we can put in place and continue to test these tools so that we can then kind of create a groundswell of understanding for how best to manage your farms, not only within a changing climate, but perhaps to help the climate stop changing.
Herring says agriculture has to be part of the solution, since estimates show that as much as a quarter of greenhouse gas emissions worldwide come from producing food. Livestock, such as cows raised for beef and milk, are big culprits, and their methane output is expected to grow significantly over the next decade. Here at Wolf's Neck, more than three dozen organic dairy cows are herded into the milking parlor twice a day. A few years ago, the farm partnered with yogurt producer Stonyfield Organic to offer an intensive two-year training program for organic dairy farmers. Josh Harlan is an apprentice from Missouri who's not sure he wants to stay with dairy, but definitely wants to farm in Maine.
Seems like there's a much better, everything's much more connected to ag in Maine than, especially for small-scale farming, than it is most other places that I've been to.
And nothing says regenerative farming like a small-scale farm. Wolf's Neck is hoping to establish itself as a leading authority on the subject. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, October 12th, 2017. Thanks to our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.